neighbor a high five and say, because of you. Come on, tell them, because of you. You may take your seat. Bear with me here this morning. I woke up a little bit under the weather, and but I had to push through. How many know, sometimes you got to push through. I had to push through. I said, I'm going to church. I got to speak this word. I don't care, devil, get off me. You sick devil, get off me, right? I'm pushing through here today, so bear with me. I might just be in one spot today, but that's okay. The word of the Lord will go forth. Amen? You know, a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in one of the most known cities in the world, and that's San Francisco, California. And when you think about that city, you think about all the things that that city has. Think about the bridges. You know, it has the Golden Gate Bridge. You think about Alcatraz. You think about there's a street called the Crooked Street. How many ever been to San Francisco? Okay. There's a street called the Crooked Street. It's the most crookedest street in the world. It just goes like this. I remember being young, filling my Impala. I had a 66 Impala, and I would fill it with all the young people. And I said, okay, hold on. And we would go down that crooked street. The whole way down. They're like, you're crazy. You're crazy. I said, I know. Hold on. Right? I was a crazy youth leader. And we had the cable carts. You have Victorians. You also had that show Full House. Somebody remember that show Full House? Right? Those were Victorians there. It was filmed in San Francisco. But San Francisco was known for a lot of great things and a lot of monuments like that. And it's still known to this day for some great stuff. But here, when we read this scripture, there's something that sticks out to me about this church in Thessalonica. Now, this church had been in existence for about 2 to 3 years, kind of like us right now. And I started reading this book, and I started really paralleling where what God was doing in that church at that time and also what he's doing here in our ministry in this time. And I began to look, and I started to say, man, they've been in existence for about 2 to 3 years. What are the stuff they've been facing in their ministry? So I started looking through, and I was like, whoa, okay. So if you have a moment, read those two books, and I believe that the Lord will minister to you, especially where we are as a church and maybe some things that might be up ahead that we have to prepare for. But that's not what I'm going to speak about. What I'm going to speak about is really there was a sound that was coming out of this church. When you read the Bible here, the Bible says that the word of the Lord was ringing out from the people everywhere. In other words, it wasn't so much a bridge that they were talking about. It wasn't so much their culture that they were talking about as far as, you know, their surroundings. It was more about what was taking place in that church. So a lot of cities have a lot of things to talk about, like Las Vegas, right? They call it Sin City, right? They call Reno the smallest, biggest city in the world. They call all these cities New York City. You think about all these big things. But here, when Paul writes this, he doesn't write about all those things. What he writes about, he says, there's something greater that is ringing out of your city. Now, to be honest, I never heard of Mesa before I even got here. Never heard of this city. Never heard of the great people that are in this city. I never heard about the need in this city. I never heard, quite honestly, about this city. But there's something that is taking place here within our church. And what's taking place within our church is there is a sound that is coming from our church. And it's not a sound of how great the city is, but it's a sound that people are finding hope. It is a sound that people are now finding freedom for their lives. It is a sound that there's a church that is excited about the things that God is doing. It is a sound that a church that has no limits. That's a sound that the church is believing God for the impossible. Is there anybody like that here today? There's a sound of victory that is starting to be voiced out of the city of Mesa. Would you agree with me? When you begin to think about the sound that Paul is talking about, I can't help but to think about the sound that is coming from our church. Yesterday, like I told you, I had an opportunity just to hang out with our founder's son. And all he said was, man, I hear great things. He hasn't been here in about 2 years, I believe. And he goes, man, I keep hearing great things. He said, I heard you broke the 200 barrier. I heard this, and I heard that God is moving. I heard God is doing something. And he tells me, I got to get there. I got to get there. He said, book me that Wednesday because I'm going to be there. I want to see personally what's happening in that church, in that city. So when you think about the sound that's coming, the sound is not coming from the city. The sound is coming from the people. The sound of victory is starting to be raised. The sound of people overcoming is starting to be raised. Can I get an amen? The sound of our victory home is starting to spread out throughout the land. If there's one thing I understand is that sound travels. Sound travels. News travels quickly. Whenever you hear about a good movie, it travels quickly. Whenever you hear about something as far as that's not so good, that sound travels too, right? But here today, I'm so blessed and honored to be a pastor of a church that has a great sound. A great sound. I believe that we have a sound of revival. I believe that there's revival taking place within our ministry, even before our eyes. I believe what God is going to do in these next few months and throughout this year, is God's going to revive a lot of people. You might be in the church already, but there might be some people that maybe knew God at one time, but I'm here to tell you that this church is going to bring a sound of revival to their lives. Where once again they could serve God with freedom, that once again we could bring a backslider back to Christ. How many believe that we can do that? Not only that type of sound, but also the sound that we could actually have a women's home and a men's home that they could come and be recovered. I believe that there's a sound of revival that's coming from this house. How many believe that with me? So as I begin to read here, the Bible says that that sound or that ringing throughout this area was going beyond their city. And I believe that the sound that we have is going beyond our city. That people are deciding to move here. People are saying, what is this sound coming from that church? So as I begin to think about the sound that is coming from this church, I can't help but to think about the vision and the future that's coming before us. What I feel that's coming before us is here between now and between March, we're going to be launching our online YouTube page. Because I feel that there's many more people that need to hear the sound that is coming from this church. The sound, what it sounds like to be victorious. So we're going to be launching our YouTube page where people could log on from all over the world and say, what is taking place in that church? Isn't that amazing? I said, isn't that amazing? Not only that, but I also want to let the sound of our young people start being let out. So we're also going to start a YouTube page for our gang ministry here within our church. And I believe that the sound that is coming from here could revive people from all over the world. How many agree with me? So it says that it's going beyond. People are listening. People are hearing what is taking place within our church. And what's taking place is the body of Christ is starting to level up. The body of Christ is starting to experience victories. And because when the body of Christ experiences victories, what happens is that sound travels. The sound travels. And so here, as we read, it says, forever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turn from idols and serve the living God. Now I want to talk to you about what this sound sounds like. The first thing I noticed there that Paul writes is, he writes there, he says, you have turned from your idols. I believe that if there's a sound that needs to ring out of our church, if there's a sound that needs to be heard around our community and around the world, is that we have a people here today that we have turned from our idols. We have turned away from sin. That we have turned our lives around by the power of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." Here today, I love that scripture, and I wanted to use that today because the Bible says that we're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. In other words, those have that been there before us. We have elders that have laid down their lives for this ministry. We have people that gave up their whole entire life to see this ministry to where it's at today. And I believe that that crowd of witnesses are watching us, cheering us on right now. Can somebody say praise the Lord for that? But he says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. I believe that here today, we need to understand that once we turn away from sin, that we got to stay away from sin. That we can't keep dabbling in sin here today. That if there's a sound that needs to come out of this church, it needs to be a sound that we have turned our lives around by the power of God, and we have never stepped back foot into the connection anymore. We never went back into that place of bondage anymore. We never went back in our minds into that bondage anymore. But we have been set free because the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Not only did they turn away in that way, but I also feel that also within turning away, that you and I, we got to keep a good testimony. We need a sound of a great testimony. In other words, people don't know God, but they know you. And if they know you, then you're the closest thing to God, to them. In other words, they watch your every move. Mesa, they don't know our church out there. The only people they know is you. So you represent the house of God, but you also represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you are entangled and you keep dabbling in sin, what happens is you represent God in a bad way. You become a bad testimony. You're always grumpy, you're always upset, you're always going through it. Man, you're not showing and displaying the power of God within your life. You're showing that God is a weak God, and God never said that he was a weak God. He is an all-powerful God. There is no weak God that we serve. So we can't represent God in such a way that he's a weak God. We don't serve a weak God. We serve an all-powerful God. So when we represent God, represent him well. Represent him like you got strength. Represent him like you got joy. Represent him like you got the peace of God. Represent him to the true meaning of who he is within your life. He is working inside of your life. Some of us, we need to remind ourselves, no, God is greater inside of me. I serve a big God. This is a great thing to have as a great testimony. When you have a great testimony, people look at you different. Because you don't act like everybody else. You don't keep slipping like everybody else. But you keep yourself in line. You keep your character in check. You have integrity with everything you do. Even at your workplace, you have integrity because you're a child of God. When you have an opportunity to steal, you don't steal. When you have an opportunity to get over, you don't get over. When the opportunity arises for you to bend your character, to bend your testimony, you don't do it because you know what's at stake. What's at stake is God's reputation in your life. What's at stake is what God is doing here in this church. So if we want a sound that comes out of this church, it needs to be a sound that we have great testimonies here in the house of God. I don't care if you work with worldly friends. Does not mean that you have to cuss. Does not mean you have to sit there and listen to their jokes and sit there and listen to what they're doing. My friend, you're a child of God. Purify your ears. Purify yourselves and say, I got to get away from what you're saying. When you begin to do that, you begin to separate yourself. And all of a sudden now, you have a testimony. You have a testimony. What has God done for you? But what is he doing for you? Yes, he's done something. But I believe that that's great what he's rescued us from. But I believe even that what's greater is what's ahead. So we got to keep showing that God has power within our lives. Would you say amen? The more you show God's power, the more real he becomes to people. Your friends are counting on you. Your family is counting on you. You have relatives that are counting on you that say, man, if they could do it, I can do it. Can somebody say, I need a sound? We need the sound of that. We turn away. The next thing that I see here is that not only did they turn away, but they turned to serve the true and living God. The second sound that we need to hear from our church, and the second sound that I believe that people need to hear that's echoing out of this ministry, is that the sound of servanthood. The sound of servanthood. If there's anything that we need, is that we need a grateful people. When you are grateful for what God has done within your life, it's not a big deal to serve. Because you used to serve the enemy for so many years and you didn't realize that you were in bondage, that you were lost, that you were locked up and you were heading to nowhere. But what we need is a spirit of servanthood that echoes out of the church, a spirit that we're willing to do whatever it takes to see more souls saved. A spirit that says, I don't mind being involved. I don't mind helping out. I don't mind coming early. I don't mind doing all these things, because all these things don't even match up to what God has done within my life. It don't even match up to what he's doing right now, currently within my life. A spirit of servanthood is what we need within our church. I believe that we need to let off a sound that we serve with all of our hearts, that when we serve God, that we serve him with all everything we got and say, God, I'm coming to your house to serve at your house. I'm not even worthy to serve, but yet you counted me able to serve in your house. Somebody needs to give the Lord praise for that. Some of us look at holding keys of the building like it's a big trial. My friend, that's an honor. This is God's house. This is not even pastor's house. It's like having keys to a palace. It's like having keys to a king's house and you being entrusted with the king's things. So when it comes to representing the king's house, we serve in such a way that this is the King of Kings' house. That this is God's house. So when we serve with that manner. We serve on this ministry with that manner. That we represent God. This represents God's house. And we come here to serve God with everything we have. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, the Bible reads like this. 1 Peter 4, 10, 11. Are you with me? It says, as each has given a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards here today. And I believe that this verse is really, really powerful, because the Lord has given us each gifts. They could be different gifts, unique gifts. Your gifts are not like my gifts. My gifts are a little bit different. They're probably more louder than yours. My gifting, I could be on this stage and I could talk to you with no problems. But some of you get on this stage and you clam up. You're like, right? You can't get the words out, right? But you're gifted in different areas. You're gifted with a smile. You're gifted with a spirit of encouragement. You're gifted in a lot of different ways. You're gifted with the spirit of helps. You're gifted with hospitality. You're gifted with sharing a word. You're gifted with a lot of different things. And because you're gifted with a lot of different things, the Bible says that we shall use those gifts with one another. Not only do we serve the church, but we serve each other. And I think that we have to get into the mindset that, man, we're in this together. That me and you, we're in this together. And I'm serving you here today with my gifts. Do you understand that? I'm serving you with the gift of preaching. I'm serving you with the gift of communication. I'm serving you with the gift that the Lord has given me. But if everybody understands that you're gifted in a certain way, then you understand your place in the church. Now, if I have to go and step into for somebody else's gift and I can't use my gift where God wants me to use it. So in other words, if we have an open spot in the date or in the nursery or in the kids gang ministry, what happens, I step into somebody else's giftings, but now who's going to take care of that gifting? So do you see how we serve one another when it comes to these things? You have to know your place, and you have to be able to say, man, I'm serving this area, and I serve here one another with my giftings. I serve the church with the giftings that God has given us. Aren't you blessed by our worship team? Now imagine if I have to put the whole worship team in kids gang. Who's going to lead worship? We'll be in here like the home. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. It works. It works, but there's other levels to it. So when you understand where you are and in your place and in your giftings, you stay in your lane and you allow God to use you in that way, in that capacity. Then what happens is that everybody is blessed. Everybody is happy because you're fulfilling the very thing that God has called you to do. But here today, what we need to do is we need to find ourselves finding that sound of servanthood. Finding that sound of, I want to volunteer. Finding that sound of non-complaining when it comes to serving. Hello, somebody. Finding that one vessel that says, I'm willing to do it when nobody else wants to. Finding that sound that says, man, that church really serves me with their gifts. I want people to come off the streets. I want people to come off the highways and the byways, wherever they're coming from, to come into this house and feel they've been served. Been served with love. Been served with kindness. Been served in such a manner where their life will forever be changed. You know that my friend came just this last Wednesday. He came, he's from Sacramento. When he came, he said, man, I can't help but to feel so good when I came into your church. He said, I felt great. People hugged me. People said hi to me. I felt the presence of God there. I felt God move in a tremendous way. That was our prayer service. Wasn't even a normal service, but it was just a prayer service. But in that prayer service, God did something in that man's life. I believe that the Lord planted seeds in his life. But you know where it came from? It came from a people willing to serve. It came from a people willing to share a smile, willing to say, brother, it's good to see you. What's your name? Oh, my goodness, it's good to have you in the house of God. That is serving people. That is serving one another. And when you begin to share God like that, my friend, the sound begins to travel about what God is doing in this church. I can't help but to read his post and said, man, what a great church this is. My friend, do you hear the sound traveling about what God is doing when people are serving, when people are giving up their lives? People are impacted because of people serving. Behind you serving, people are impacted. And when they're impacted, they leave this building telling their family members, telling people, my God, you should go visit this church. Why? You should feel what I felt when I walked in that building. How do you think we've been growing? To tell you the truth, I haven't been able to do any evangelism lately. Since we've been here, it's been word of mouth. Since we've been here, it's been your family members. We've used social media. We've used Facebook. We've used all kinds of ways to get out there. But we haven't even hit the ground yet. We haven't even hit the ground yet. But without hitting the ground yet, listen to the sound that is traveling. Listen to the sound that is echoing through the mouths of people. And I believe here today that that sound is going to get louder and louder and louder. Can somebody say amen? Servanthood. The next thing I want to see here is that they turned away from their idols to serve the living God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus. There's another thing that Paul writes that he's been hearing about this church. The next thing that he's been hearing about this church is this. He says that they are looking forward. I believe that we need a church to keep looking forward. The day that Jesus is coming soon. How many believe that? We are living in the last days. And in the last days, you got to know that we play an important role in these last days. He is coming, and he's coming soon. But there's one thing that sticks out to me, is that there was a sound that they kept looking forward. Somebody say forward. They kept looking forward. They kept looking at what's ahead. And I think that when we talk about what looking forward is within our ministry, I can't help but to think about our founder. Our founder keeps talking about the next 5 years has to be the years that we're going to impact the world like never before. In other words, that there's a third wave that's rising up, and this third wave is going to take their place, and they're going to do great things for God. But when we look forward, you got to know that looking forward does not mean that, you know, we're just blessed with what these four walls are doing. But we have to look forward in an advanced situation or an advanced way, understanding that it doesn't stop with you and I. You know that Joshua was recorded that Joshua went into the promised land. But when Joshua went into the promised land, he went in and they lived there in the promised land. And I believe that many of us, we're going to experience the promised land within our lives. Many of us will have promises fulfilled within our lives. But you know, in Judges chapter 2, verse 8, there's a couple interesting scriptures there. It says that, and the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him. Those who have seen all the great things the Lord has done with Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at 110. That verse says that Joshua and all the leaders and everybody who had seen the great things that the Lord has done with them, basically that whole generation lived with Joshua, and Joshua died at 110. Verse number 10, I think it is. And after the generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remembered the mighty things that he had done in Israel. When you think about what took place as Joshua went into the land, Joshua experienced something great. Joshua experienced the land that the Lord had promised them. But what happened is that generation died and another generation arose. And when the next generation arose, the Bible records that that generation did not even know or acknowledge the things that God had done in the past for them. In other words, a whole generation came up not even knowing that God was about the Red Sea, not even acknowledging that God walked them through dry ground when the Red Sea parted, did not even acknowledge that God rescued them from Egypt, did not even acknowledge the things that God has done within their lives. So what happens here is that Joshua builds, but only builds for one lifetime. What we're building is not for a lifetime. What we're building is so that generations to come will experience the same things we're experiencing here today. That generations to come will experience supernatural things like you and I have been experiencing here within these last 2 years. We've been experiencing God's movement. Are you with me? We've been experiencing God move in a tremendous way. So what happens is that we don't give opportunity for this next generation to come up and experience those things when we live in a selfish state and we're okay with our promises. But what about the promises for our children? What about the promises for those to come? What about the promises of our third wave? My friend, we got to keep paving the way. We got to keep looking forward and saying, God, I don't want anything to hold me back anymore. God, I want to throw off every weight that is slowing me down. Because there's a future up ahead, my friend. I believe that there's something great up ahead, but we got to throw away the weights that stop us. If you want to move forward this year is a year of development. This year is a year to develop our lives, to develop that prayer life you always wanted, to develop your scripture reading as you always wanted, to develop that area in your life that you always want. This is your year to do that. And because this is your year to do that, my friend, you need to cut off every weight that holds you back. could be a relationship that's been holding you back. It could be sin that has been holding you back. Something is slowing you down, and it's time to trim it off. It's time to trim off whatever weight that is holding you back. Here today, it's not about ourselves, but it's about looking forward. We got to carry the sound of victory to the next generation. We got to carry the sound of victory to the next wave that is coming in to our church. You got to carry the sound that we are victorious as we keep looking forward to the people that are coming into our ministry this next year. This next year, I believe we're going to break that 300. This year coming, I believe our gang is going to hit 150. This year coming, I believe our life groups are going to hit 20 to even 30. Come on, somebody. If we have 300 people, we should have 30 life groups. Do you know that? That's 10 a person, right? So when you do the math, you begin to see, man, there's a need for us to keep this sound moving. There's a sound that needs to keep traveling within our church and within our ministry. How many agree with me today? And I pray that within this ministry and within our church, that we keep this sound going. That the generations to come will hear the sound of our faith. That they will hear the sound of when we were looking for a building, that we stepped out by faith and trusted the Lord, and the Lord met us. When we were looking for a victory home, that the Lord met us by faith. I believe that there's a sound of hope that needs to continue to go on to the next generation. I believe that there's a sound of peace that needs to go on to the next generation. There's a sound of joy that needs to go on to the next generation. It just can't stop with us, but it's got to keep moving. It's got to keep going forward. Can somebody say amen? As the keyboard player comes, here today, I wanted to share this with you because it's important for us as a church to realize where we are. To realize that we can't be quiet when it comes to the things of God. We got to allow God's Spirit to keep moving. But it keeps moving through you and I. It keeps moving through your testimony. It keeps moving through your servanthood. It keeps moving by you keep looking ahead and saying there's more to come. I believe that God's going to bring another generation in this. It could be young people, older people, regardless, it's going to be a new wave of generation that's going to come in this building. And it's up to you to echo the right sounds. It's up to you not to echo a complaining spirit. It's up to you not to echo gossip, not to echo all the bad things you see. But it's up to us to echo all the good things, to echo how good God is. I'm here to tell you, I have flaws. I'm not perfect. God's still working on me. And if God's still working on me, then God is definitely still working on you. So if we all are being worked on, who are we to talk about people? Who are we to echo about people's flaws and what people do? The Bible says if you want mercy, give mercy. If you want grace, give grace. That's why I give grace. That's why I don't come with a hammer all the time. That's why I don't come and beat people up. That's why I don't come and just talk negative to you. I come with an encouraging word. I come to lift you up. I come to say you're greater. You can do it. That's just my spirit because I need that within my life. I don't need somebody to point out every flaw that I have. I need somebody to tell me, Pastor, keep doing it. We're going somewhere. We're moving forward. We got this. We're going to hit that 300. Pastor, we will see that campus one day. I don't know about you, but that excites me. So what we need is we need the right sound. The right sound to come from this church. And it's up to you and I to be that sound. People will hear about us through you. Victory Home, when you graduate, there's going to be a sound that comes from your life. a sound that there's a place that I can go to. There's going to be a sound from our gang ministry. There's going to be a sound from our women's home soon. There's going to be a sound of our married couple saying, we had no hope. There's no way we could have made it. But God restored us. God did something special. I need some people to hear that sound. I need some people in Mesa to hear that sound. That God is still in the working business. That God is still able to do the impossible. I need that sound. I need that sound when people come into church with drugs in their pocket and able to lay it down at this altar. I need that sound of somebody that was lame in body and all of a sudden they got up and they were totally healed. I need that sound that a blind person could walk into this place and all of a sudden they could see perfectly with 20/20. Oh, you ain't hearing me. You ain't hearing me. I need that sound. I need that sound that cancer was cured in this house. We need that sound. That sound that hepatitis was cleared within this church. I need that sound that diabetes was reversed by the power of God. Oh, we need a sound from this church. How many believe we need that sound? The Bible says that the fame of Jesus began to spread because there was a sound. There was a sound of a man that would travel and people would get healed. There was a sound of a man that spoke with wisdom like they've never heard. There was a sound of a man that would walk into the synagogues and come in and he would preach and he would talk out of the scripture, but they didn't realize who was standing before them. There was a sound that was echoing from the man named Jesus. But it was just not a normal sound. It was a sound from heaven. It was a sound that only heaven could speak. My friend, the sound that we need is not a natural sound. It is a sound that sounds like heaven. It is a sound that people begin to realize that heaven is here, that heaven is moving within your life. I don't know if that's anybody here today, but we need you to rise up and say, I'm going to be that sound. I'm going to be that sound. If you're ready to be that sound, lift your hands. Come on, lift those hands. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.